You know, I've been on this journey for now since 2009, when I really started praying a lot. 5 hours a day I started for 3 months. You've heard it over and over again. And I kept going for 5 years. And God kept pouring out revelation of how the kingdom of God works. And all the different aspects. But it was up to me to do something with that revelation, to do something with that inspiration that the Holy Spirit gave me. So I tried to walk in it, and God gave me that much revelation. I was hard pressed to try and walk all of that out. It was just so much of it, and it was just difficult, but I had to try and juggle it around. So I just let the Holy Spirit lead me and guide me through that revelation, and I automatically walked in the revelation the Holy Spirit gave me, because He poured the revelation into my spirit, and it was released out into my soul, and I pondered over all the stuff. But to actually walk in it willingly or with my own intelligence was just too hard, because it came from a spiritual realm. And the natural mind, or even my normal mind, can't perceive the spiritual realm easily. So I had to stop walking by my own imagination, my own mind, my own natural imagination, and I had to walk in the Spirit and learn to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. We have Google, which is a massive, computer database of all information all over the world, and you can access that through all the different aspects of Google, all the different software components. You've got maps, you've got Google, you ask a question and it will search its database, and you've got appointments and all of these things that link into an artificial intelligence, and it's supposed to be more far encompassing than a human brain. It covers all of the human knowledge, cumulative human history, and makes sense of it through artificial intelligence, and then regurgitates it in a palatable form for you. But that's the wisdom of man, and that's from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you have to sift through all of that. But there is a far greater intelligence, which is the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has all knowledge and all understanding and all truth, everything. The Holy Spirit knows every thought that every person ever thought from the history of all human consciousness. And He has that at His fingertips. And He can display all of that stuff to you. Every wise thought that comes from God, you have access from. You have access from God for everything. So you can either go to man and use those things to navigate your life. You can go through Google and navigate your life that way. But there's a thing that I found in God where I don't have to think about anything anymore. All I do is just walk in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit organizes my appointments to people who I'm supposed to speak into their life. He organizes wherever I go, I get favor from people. And that is a thing I'm going to speak about. It's called this grace. You know, we always speak about, well, we're sinners saved by grace, and amazing grace. And really, none of us really understand what it really means. And if we look at the Greek word, it means free, unmerited favor. We think, well, that's wonderful. We still don't know what that really means. How can you make this free, unmerited favor, this nice, flashy word called grace, work in your life? What are the far-reaching aspects of this grace? And Paul understood it. He worked it out, and he spelled it out in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. And if you study that, he talks about how this grace works in a certain capacity. You know, this grace works in many, many different capacities. When Paul in 2 Corinthians was talking about how the Jews were chasing him from town to town, and he was very frustrated, and he went to the Lord and said, "Will you get me out of this? Will you stop these guys from chasing me?" And he asked God three times, and each time God responded with, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace." And he figured it out. Rather than have God, right, nail these people all the time, or every time he got in trouble, he used this function of the kingdom of God called this grace. My grace is sufficient for you. My free, unmerited favor is sufficient for you. So a person, a spirit-filled, baptized by water, speaking in tongues person who is a new creation, has access to all of the kingdom of God, can walk in this grace, can walk in this free, unmerited favor. You know, when you use Google and you go down the road and Google pops something up on your phone and says, "You know, I've been looking at what you do and your patterns, and there's a shop over here that has, sales." Well, what about the Holy Spirit? He can work in a far greater, far-reaching capacity, and in such a way that when you go to the shop, because you're shopping there, because he sent you there, and because he's moved on those individuals to drop their prices, right, so that you can walk in and receive free, unmerited favor, you not only get blessed, but God blesses those people in the shop. Google doesn't do that. But you know, when they bless you because God has moved on them, even though they're not even spirit-filled and they don't even understand anything about the kingdom of God, he blesses them because they bless you. That's the goodness of God. That's how nice God is. And we can walk in that. We can understand that. You know, one day I was going down the road and I looked at my tattoos on my arm and I said, "I want to get rid of these. And I'm going to have to figure out how to get rid of these." So I went and I saw this tattoo shop, and there was above it, tattoo removalists. So I went upstairs and I said, "Oh, listen, I'd like to get these tattoos removed. How can I get these tattoos removed? How much is it going to cost?" And the lady said to me, "This is your lucky day." She said, "I'm training up a whole bunch of laser treatment tattoo removalists, and we need people that we can work on, and they'll be supervised by me, and I will oversee the tattoo removalists with these trainees. If you will do it for free, if you'll participate." And I went, "That's God. That's the favor of God." So I went home and I said to the Lord, "How does that work?" And he said to me, he gave me this scripture. And I didn't even know. See, this is how the Lord works with me. I ask God and then he gives me a scripture. And I go, okay, where's that scripture? I know that scripture. I've heard it before, but where is it exactly? So I go to my Bible, I do a word search and I find it. And then I read, 10 verses above it and then 10 verses below it, and I get a context and understand what he's talking about. But this is the scripture he gave me. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, he said, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." So their wise ideas is foolishness with God. "For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness." Okay? Then it says, "And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain or empty." That, you know, that half price sale is part of the whole thing. I looked at all of that stuff and the Lord said to me, "You know, people need to get something done and they find somebody to get the thing done with. And you can be that person." And, you know, those people in the tattoo shop or tattoo removalist place, they thought that they were fortunate to find somebody that would participate in the tattoo removalists. So they're willing to do it for free. So I fulfilled a need in them, right? And they gave me free unmerited favor. And I thought, free unmerited favor only comes from saints, only comes from Christians. God can only move on Christians to bless other Christians. And he said to me, no, it's not a sealed unit. I use all of mankind. I use everything at my disposal. Everything that I own, God owns everything. And he rules in every court, every place. And he is able to draw even your worst enemies to bless you. Your worst enemies won't be conscious of blessing you. They will want to get out of the situation they're in. And they will see you as the means to get out of the situation they're in. Even though they're your absolute die enemy. All they want to do is see your destruction. And God may even give them delusions that they may give you benefit, thinking that they're going to destroy you, but it's going to be a blessing in your life. And you may think, oh, this is no good, what the enemy's trying to do to me. But you know, God has a plan, and he is victorious in everything. All we have to do is make sure that we're full of God, we're hearing from the Holy Spirit correctly, and then we can rest in God. You know, I speak to people on the street, and they say to me all the time, over and over again, they say, I was just thinking about this. How am I going to get out of this trouble? You know, I want to know God more and more, but I don't know how. And then all of a sudden, 3 hours later, you turn up and you start talking to me, and you start telling me all of the answers to my problems. And I say to them, well, that's God. And they're amazed how quick it works, because God uses me to fix other people's problems. I pray for them. These are Christians. You know, most of the time, Christians are the ones that are in the biggest ditch of the world. And because the enemy's after Christians, not after unsaved people so much. They're automatically going to hell. You know, if they don't do anything in their life at all, right, then they're just automatically slotted to go to hell. You know, and but Christians, the enemy has to try and ruin their path and try and ruin their whole operation and distort everything that they have as what they think is a vision. So, you know, I speak to them and I say to them, well, the Lord sent me, and I pray over them, and all of a sudden stuff leaves them, clarity comes to their mind, and they go, praise the Lord, this is fantastic. I say, yes. It's all about Jesus. You know, it even happens with people in the world. You know, I might be going shopping or in a shopping center or anywhere, and I stop and talk to somebody, and all of a sudden the anointing falls on me. And, you know, sometimes it's really hard to tell the difference from being just normal and the anointing, because just so much always in the presence of God. But, you know, there are people I just start talking to, and all of a sudden I just start talking to them about things, and they go, where did you get all this? This is amazing. This is the answer to what I've been thinking about. Or they say to me, I've had people say to me, will you be my life coach? And they've known me for like 2 minutes. They say, you've got the answers to all my questions. You know, and I just laugh and I say to them, I'm a Christian. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And the things that are inspiring me are from God. Well, that either makes them want to inquire more or run away. It's up to them. But the bottom line is, they will always know, and God will always bring to remembrance at a certain times that I spoke into their life, and it was from him. It was from the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he can work on them when they're at their weakest point and they're looking for answers. God can say, remember when Tom came to you and spoke to you? That was me. And then he can make an entrance point into their life and start to inspire them to move into being a Christian and seeking him. That's how it works. That's cool. That's free unmerited favor in their life. God gave free unmerited favor in their life by using me to speak into their life and depositing a seed, a word seed that can break open and cause a great tree to grow in their life, a tree of the kingdom of God. And then they just can't, they can't run away from it. That's good. So, you know, if God can send me to them and they're praying about it, right? And if you're full of God, how much more will God lead you into all paths of righteousness and lead you around the traps of the enemy? You know, even in the Bible where Jesus says, pray in this manner, not pray this prayer, but pray in this formula, our Father who art in heaven, holy be thy name, right? And he says, lead us not into temptation, but lead us around the traps of our enemies, okay? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, okay? So if you're full of God, then it's pretty well a given. If you're walking in discernment and you've got your eyes on Jesus, right, he's going to lead you around the traps. So when people try to offer you things that you think, oh, this sounds too good to be true, or whatever, you ask the Holy Spirit, is this right? And if he says to you, don't go into that, don't do that, don't go near that, then you can successfully say, well, the Lord's guiding me around the traps. The Holy Spirit doesn't alert you to that, keep going forward. That's pretty simple. Yeah, it's one thing I learned. The Holy Spirit doesn't just say to you, don't do that, don't do that. No, he just lets you go, and then whenever something happens, he tells you. You know, you don't. I used to go to the Lord, do I do this, do I do this, do I do this, do I do this? He said, stop doing that. He said, just be led by me, and when you go off the track, I will tell you. Okay, so what you propose in your heart, do, because I've put it in your heart to do that. So don't worry too much. Don't be over anxious, but be alert and be full of me. Be full of God. And if you're full of God and you can hear his voice, and if you're going to fall off a cliff or you're going to crash into a wall, then the Lord's going to look after you. He doesn't want you to crash and burn. He's not interested in you crashing and burning. The reason we crash and burn is because we come into a place where we can't differentiate between God speaking, right, and the enemy speaking. That's where we have no discernment. So we need to be spiritually aware. We need to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping us in the love of God. And even if we make the wrong decision because of our stupidity, God has always a rescue plan for us to get us back out of the ditch and onto dry ground. That's how wonderful God is. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Sometimes you make bad decisions. You know, the Lord told me that, this is an interesting thing. He told me that he has waylay points. Okay, so we'll just hypothetically say he has waylay points every 6 months in your life. So every year there's two waylay points, okay? And as you move forward and you make paths and you have the good, acceptable and perfect will of God, and these paths that you go on, as you either walk on the good or the acceptable or the perfect will of God, you end up at these waylay points. They're a place where God is putting you, and you're corrected, you're reset, everything's you're in alignment, and then you make those paths again, those three paths. So you either take the good, acceptable or the perfect will of God. If you're praying and you're seeking God, you'll go on the good most of the time, and you won't go into the ditch. If you're not fully aware, you end up in the ditch. God has something to get you out the path so that you meet that waylay point, that you meet that place, that 6 month place where he's got you, because he's got you on a path, right? And it's up to you to choose either you walk in the good, acceptable or perfect will of God. I try to walk in the perfect will of God. So I get 100% of the benefit. There's 30, 60, and 100 fold. You can walk where you don't make as good a choice in the paths, in the life's paths, and you might get a 30% return. You might be better at it and you get a 60. But if you're really attentive to God, walking in the Holy Spirit, and have your ear tuned to Him all the time, you're probably going to walk on the 100%. So everywhere you go, you're going to speak to people who God has sent to you. If you're on the 30, maybe you'll speak to only 30% of the people who are actually, you know, who actually God wants you to speak to, because you miss the other, you know, 60%. And if you're walking on the 60, well, you're getting more. If you're walking 100, you're hitting it, the target, nearly all the time, 100%. So that's the way it works. The Lord showed me. He said He's got a pathway. You know, some people, they just keep staying on the 30 and 30, and they're always messing up. And they're always, most of the time, what's the 30 and 60? So 30% is good and 6% is bad. It's not a good life. But God will, He will carry you through that 30% over and over again, because you make bad choices. But if you start making good choices, you'll make choices where you're 60%, then 100%. You're sowing to the Spirit, right? You're sowing good seed into your heart, where you're going to make good decisions. The sower and the seed, right? That's another thing. God is not mocked. What you sow to, you'll reap. So you can walk in 30% of the free unmerited favor of God. You can walk in the 60% or 60-fold of the free unmerited favor of God. Or you can walk in 100%, which is always, all the time, every place, every foot you step is the free unmerited favor of God, is the blessing of God. Everywhere you go, everything you say, everything you do is the free unmerited favor of God. That's a better choice. So we're going to show you how to do that. So this grace, this is what I want to talk about in this series, is this grace. How can you make this grace work for you? So this grace is a power source. It's something that God has ordained. Now we go, I'm saved by grace. Well, what that actually meant was that favor came to your life, and God opened your eyes up, and you responded to the gospel. You responded to the free unmerited favor of God, which was this grace. And you are saved because of this grace. So how can you make this grace work in your natural life? You're a spiritual being led by the Holy Spirit, but you still need to eat or drink, right? And Jesus said, take no thought for what you shall eat and drink, or what you shall wear, where you shall live. He talks about even the sparrows. You know, God even knows every hair on your head. Talks about, Solomon, in all his glory. You know, Jesus is greater than Solomon. He is wisdom, absolute wisdom. And if you've got Jesus in you and you're in Him, then you're going to walk in this wisdom. You're going to walk in this blessing, right? So this blessing operates the grace as well. You know, Jesus said, blessed are the humble, blessed are the meek, and all of these things in Matthew chapter 5. They correlate exactly with Proverbs 7, pillars of wisdom. Now, these pillars hold up a house. They hold up a roof. They are the things, they're the support beams. The 7 pillars of wisdom. They hold up a wise life. So what are these 7 pillars of wisdom? Well, if you look in Matthew, he speaks about them. He says, blessed, right? Blessed is the person who does this. There's 7 of them. But you'll say there's 9. No, the other 2 are the result. If you walk in wisdom, there's going to be persecution and all of these things. But you know, there's 7 major pillars. And if you understand how they work, your life will be blessed, right? Because if you don't, you know, if you sow peace into your life, you'll be blessed. There's all of these things. If you mourn for righteousness, right? If you want things to be right, you're being wise, right? And you're seeking after the kingdom of God. How can I do right things, right? So all of these things are the they're the foundational platforms for your life to walk in a blessed life, and they're all wise things. Okay, and these things are connected with the free unmerited favor, grace. So we're going to talk about this grace, and we're going to talk about how this grace can work in your life financially, how it can work in your life with your work, how it can work in your life with your family and your marriage, how you can operate with this grace, this free unmerited favor, and how that it can benefit you. You know, so Paul talks about this grace. He said, he asked the Lord three times, get these Jews off my back. They beat me up and hit me with sticks and all this sort of bad stuff. So the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. This functionality of the kingdom of God called grace, this grace, right, is sufficient. This is all you need, Paul, is this grace. So he said, therefore, when he figured it out, he goes, therefore, I rejoice in my weakness that the power of God would rest upon me, or tabernacle on me. The power of God would rest upon me, tabernacle on me. It means a person who builds a tent and lives in a place, right? So they go into a part of the country, they stake out a bit of ground, and they pitch a tent, and they live in that tent. So that the power of God would pitch a tent over you, and this grace would function in your life. So when he goes along and they grab him and put him in jail, this grace operates, right? And the building starts falling down. You know, when Paul says to the captain, we shouldn't go on this voyage because there's going to be a lot of messed up stuff happening. And the captain didn't listen to him. So they ended up crashing up against the rocks and the whole boat sunk and everybody had to swim to shore on certain things. When they got to shore, you know, even a snake tried to bite him and kill him. But this grace was operating in him, right? And this power was stopping him from being, dying from the venomous snake. And then the grace even operates even further, where all of the island gets filled with the Holy Spirit, gets saved, because, Paul goes to one of the head men of the island and gets him healed. And this grace starts to operate. This free unmerited favor starts to operate. You know, even the centurion that was with Paul, you know, Paul received grace from the centurion. He stopped people from killing him. Free unmerited favor all the time in all your life, if you can understand how this grace works. There was a guy, there's a book called The Autobiography of George Mueller. So I read that about 8 years ago, and I read it, and it's about a guy back in the 1800s, I think it was, or something, and I can't remember now, and he understood this grace, and he went and started up an orphanage. And he didn't do it off of his own back. He said, God, I want to see how far this grace works. So he told people in the church, if you want to give, put it in the box here. And, every day or every week, whenever you see this box outside the church, it's a locked box, put your money in there. And he never asked people for any money. He never asked them for, certain amounts or whatever. And he had an orphanage, and people, all these kids came to this orphanage, and he never, he just operated 100% on God's favor. You know, they'd have no food, and they'd be sitting around the table in breakfast with all of these orphans, and they'd say, and George Mueller would say, we're just going to pray. And all of a sudden this van pulls up and the guy says, I've got all this stuff, I can't keep it, I have to get rid of it, will you take it? That's grace, that's free unmerited favor. And he operated that for years and years, and at the end of his life he had oodles of money. Because far and above his expectations, he never asked anybody for anything. He wanted to see how far he could take this thing. I didn't understand when I read this, I was amazed. But I didn't understand this grace, because spiritual things have to be revealed by the Holy Spirit, not by natural means. You can read all of the faith books in the world, all of the books that have all this faith stuff, but if you don't have a revelation of it, it's just head stuff, head knowledge. So I only had the head knowledge, but I understood there was something there. I understood there was something I could tap into, and I opened myself to the Lord and said, "What is this?" And he had to show me himself about this grace. So I want to show you how this grace works and how it can work in your life. And we'll go on an experiment together. I'm going to ask you to bless me, and I'm going to ask God to bless you first before you bless me. That's a good deal. So what you're going to do is you're going to operate in this grace. You're going to get blessed off your socks. You're going to get over an abundance of your blessing, free unmerited favor, from people in the world, from businesses, right? And then you're going to sow some of that, not all of it, some of it, into my life. Because I have given you spiritual things. Even Paul said, it's right that you actually help me with natural things, so that, you know, I spend a lot of time praying and seeking God so that I can get the wisdom and the knowledge, the understanding of how the kingdom of God works, so that I can freely give it to everybody without any charge. So I'm saying to you, I'm not going to charge you anything. You can listen to this. You can operate in this grace and give me nothing at all if you want to. That's up to you. I'm not asking you to give me a certain amount. This is a free will offering of your own self. This has got nothing to do with me coercing you and saying you must do this. If you don't give me a cent, God will still bless you. But you'll be missing out on a far greater blessing, and I'm going to show you that when you partner with somebody who is anointed, then God's going to bless you because you're sowing into anointed ground. What do you think the seed is going to be? 100-fold? Yes. And it's going to be natural and spiritual. So it's up to you. We all make choices. We can choose to just get by. We can choose to just sort of do okay, pretty well. Or we can excel. We can have far abundance, more than we actually need, so that with that abundance, that overflow, we can bless others. You can't bless others if you've just got get by life, a lifestyle that's just putting food on the table and that's it. You can't help other people. And if you are doing pretty well, then you can help people some of the time. But if you're actually excelling in your life, if you've got an abundantly blessed life, you can continuously supply other people's needs, and you can help them get out the ditch financially and spiritually. So I'm going to ask you to come on this journey of understanding of this grace, and it's up to you to open your eyes up and pray over it and ask God to give you revelation. Because I can give you all the scriptures in the world about this grace, and I can explain it in intricate detail. But if you don't have spiritual understanding, it's just head knowledge, and it will do you nothing. You won't be able to operate in it because you don't understand. Because these things are spiritual. These are spiritual laws, and you have to understand them spiritually. You can't understand them with the natural mind. For the natural mind doesn't understand the things of God. It's foolishness. You'll pass them by. You'll walk past them. You won't give them any credence. You won't even desire to even operate in them because your natural thinking. You need to be spiritually minded on this grace. So we're going to go through that, and we're going to lay down the foundation, the scriptural foundation, and then we're going to talk about all the applications and how you can use this. Because God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to succeed in your life. He wants to pour out the kingdom of God onto you. You know, the Bible says it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. He's not trying to hold it back. He wants you to have all of the aspects of the kingdom of God. But you can only operate in them or receive from them continuously with a spirit-filled mind, with a spirit-filled walk, with a spirit-led life. You can only receive these things, okay? These are the only way. You know, the spirit is far above the wisdom, knowledge, and application of the natural mind. The natural mind is limited. You can only go so far with God, with the natural mind. But when you want to move into the miraculous, when you want to move into the place where faith dwells, where faith is the substance of things hoped for, what does that mean? Well, if you lose hope on a certain thing, you'll never ever be able to use faith to get it. If hopelessness comes into your life on a certain aspect, you'll never be able to get yourself out of that ditch, because the faith that you need will never manifest. It is the substance of things hoped for. You'll find that in Hebrews chapter 11. But if you read the end of Hebrews chapter 10, you'll find he talks more about this substance. You know, sometimes you need to read both chapters, because you know, God never intended chapters to be segregated. He didn't even have verse numbers. They just flowed through. But somebody decided to make people's lives easy, they will separate the verses and give them numbers and separate the chapters. And they didn't always even get the verses right. Some verses bled into the other verse. So the two verses were actually one verse, or two verses finished halfway through, depending on the understanding of the person. But we've got what we've got. And it's up to you to sort it all out. It's up to you to search it out and do word searches and sit down and ponder on the whole thing. That's why when we read a verse, we read three or four or five verses back and then forward, so we get the context, right? It's no good just standing on one verse. That's pretty hopeless, because you don't know the context, you know. So we're going to go on this journey together. And we're going to show you how grace works so that you can benefit, so that you can walk in the perfect will of God continuously, so that God can meet your needs, because that's what he wants. And he has riches in glory that he wants to pour out on you. You know, in the Bible, it says in Revelations, it says, he is worthy to receive honor and praise and riches. And I looked at the word riches, you know, and it's natural riches. Jesus doesn't need dollars in heaven. Those natural riches are access to those things for you. He was made poor that you might be rich, right? We always sometimes think of a spiritual application. That's a lot of times true. And sometimes they're dual, right? They're spiritual and natural. Sometimes we shun all the natural stuff, right? Because we're so spiritual. But if we're not wise, we miss out on a lot of God's blessing in our life. There's doctrines. There's the doctrine of prosperity and the doctrine of poverty. Some people preach, unless you're poor and you've shunned everything and you're living in a bucket or a shoebox, or maybe a bit of cardboard wrapped up against a wall, then you're not serving God. You're not pleasing God. And then there's other people who say, unless you've got six Learjets, then you're not serving God. These guys are both wrong. God doesn't want you to be poor, but he also wants you to be happy if you're in that situation, not to lose heart, but to be rejoicing in God, knowing that the Bible can bring you into a sustainable life that you can bless others. And if you're rich, that you're not to be full of yourself and pleasing yourself, but that richness is to serve other people in the gospel and in their needs, and not your Learjet. Okay, so there is a middle ground. And Jesus said the Bible says we brought nothing into this world, and we're surely not going to take anything out. The only thing we're going to take out is eternal life. And everything that we do for the kingdom of God now will set us up for the future. For we have a far greater weight of glory that is waiting for us. This weight, heavy weight, a big, big bucket loads of glory, heavy, weighty loads of glory. And we suffer this light affliction in this world, in this life, but we have a far greater weight of glory waiting on us that will last eternity. You find that in, I think, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think, around that there, something like that. Anyway, we'll leave it there, and then we'll go on further with this teaching.